Now, the Wealth Protection Diva is a successful entrepreneur, business owner, and premier business strategist, president and CEO of Sage International Incorporated, and a national speaker, best-selling author, and motivational teacher of financial education, business development, and wealth protection strategies. The joys and frustrations of being a business owner. Her insights are motivating. Her frankness inspiring. Here is Sherry Hill.
What exactly is our attitude toward money, and how did it originate? How deeply is our sense of self-identity bound up with our emotions about money? My guest, Hugh Massey, is the executive chairman and founder of DNA Behavior International, the behavior and money insights company. He recognizes that to make quantum leaps in life and thrive for longer in a digital world, there is nothing more important than the health and fitness of your heart and brain. Hugh Massey is often referenced as a reformed accountant, money energy pioneer, high-stakes decision orchestrator, serial entrepreneur, boys without fathers mentor, award-winning author, devoted dad, and keen golfer. However, Hugh is most known as a behavioral solutions architect who self-empowers people globally with increased behavior and money consciousness for unlocking exponential growth, which has led over 2 million individuals to experience reduced stress, greater happiness, more success, and better health for longer. His website, dnabehavior.com. Well, welcome, Hugh. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Sherry. It's great to be with you.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to love this conversation today because I, too, have spent decades immersed in understanding the spirituality of wealth, money blueprints, the soul of money, and, of course, the premise of think and grow rich. Yet even though there's an abundance of information, the reality is that some people are destined to be rich while others are destined for a life of struggle. So, Hugh, I'd like you to share how your background led to the founding of your company, DNA Behavior International, and your extensive work around money energy.
Well, Sherry, you know, I'm delighted to do that. And as the listeners would be able to pick up, I wasn't born in Atlanta, Georgia. I came from Sydney, Australia, although I now live here in the United States in Atlanta. And my early career or initial part of my career was what we call in Australia a chartered accountant, or in America a CPA, and I mainly specialized in taxes. And I did that for about 10 years, and then I sort of got to a watershed moment in my life and thought, I really should be an entrepreneur. I went out on my own and set up a financial services family office type business to help families with their wealth, making decisions. And it was in that journey that I started to realize that if I was going to advise people successfully about their money, I really needed to help them with themselves, and it was about their life, and that I could also see that money and money related events cause stress for people. And I wanted to understand all of that. And that's when one day I brought in a psychologist into my business, and she unpacked it for me. And that really brought it out to me that this was about behavior. And also I had a burning life desire in there to help people all over the world become financially self-empowered. And with all that together, I knew that it wasn't about financial literacy in the usual sense of teaching people about financial instruments and investing principles. It's about teaching them about themselves and how they're wired to make financial decisions. That's what put me on this path that I'm on today, and that's why I came from Sydney, Australia, to America.
Really understanding that money really is energy. And so how, Hugh, have you, you work with people, I work with people in the entrepreneur realm. And I always say to people, if you really aren't good with money as an individual, you don't magically become brilliant the moment you start a business, right?
So, right. And yes, and that's a very interesting point, and one close to my heart, that you know, if how you deal with money in your personal life is probably going to be a reflection of how you deal with it in a business. It's very closely tied, and you know, how you deal with money and your attitudes about money and your relationship to money are to a large degree tied to who you are. And, you know, the way, Sherry, that I've broken this down for people is, you know, money is a currency. There's a number sitting there in your bank account or your with your investments and assets and whatnot. That's what's there to be exchanged. Money is also behavioral. In terms of, you know, who you are, we've all got, if you want to call it a financial personality or what we call a financial DNA, that is set from very early in life. 85% of that set by the time you're 3 years old, believe it or not, you know, in terms of how you're hardwired. And that drives a lot of how you make decisions and how you think. And all of that ties into how you deal with money. So, you know, if a person's got a life perspective towards growth, to have life experiences, they will deal with money in a certain way. Others, you know, their life perspectives is about having fun. That will bring about certain money behaviors, in particular spending potentially. Others are, you know, very task focused, thinking about life security all of the time. You know, that brings about, you know, a lot of saving, being very calculated with decisions. Others, you know, just more got a concern for their family, life security, keeping things balanced. And you know, so there's lots of, you know, that's just sort of to break it down into a few quadrants, that there's more than that. But for a large degree, that is a reflection of how you come into the world, your genetics, but also the very early life experiences that you have. Shape that. But the other part is money is energetic. Money is to some degree what you think it is. And, you know, we all can put thoughts into our minds, and sometimes they're good thoughts, sometimes they're negative thoughts. But with every one of those thoughts, money is with them. You know, your thought pattern as you go to bed at night could be about a troubled relationship with a child. There will be money tied up with that, you know, in some way. And you then can manifest that outcome. Good or bad. And so that's why I always say that, Sherry, that money doesn't sleep. Because mm-hmm. it's not only is that true in the sense that if you invest it with compounding interest, you're going to make more, but also because it's in your thoughts, it's in your energy fields as a human. You're processing thoughts 24/7, whether you're aware of it or not, and money is in some of those thoughts, or if not all of those thoughts.
Absolutely.
And, in some way.
Yeah, of course. And I know that through your process, I know you work with, I'm guessing, a lot of people who deal with people and their money. So financial advisors and tax preparers and all these. And so a lot of this is, you know, this is why I find it so fascinating, because, you know, I learned years ago, money is a tool, right? And so, but Hugh, I know a huge portion of what you really talk about is, you know, when we talk about wealth, we're not just talking about dollars, right? It's everything in our life. So talk about how that kind of influence when you're working with people and figuring out what is their DNA around money, that, you know, there's a learning process to go. It isn't all about, you know, work till you die. It's live life.
Right. And I think that, you know, if you bring it back to, there's a few points here. And just to, you know, reiterate for our listeners today, Sherry, it is not, you know, wealth is not just about how much money you have in the bank account. It's about, you know, far more than that. And I think that's where often the trouble is, that people define wealth as what they have in the bank account. And of course, having a certain amount of income is important to, you know, to pay the bills, to provide some life freedom. And, you know, there's even research out there about the fact that, you know, in America, if you have around $120,000, that's sort of the line of for happiness, you know, in an optimum sense. So you think about all those people that earn more than that, have got substantial assets. Potentially, they're not happy, or they're certainly not incrementally happier. And of course, then you've got others that are below that level that have more struggles, and you know, money causes other stresses. But I think when we talk about a person being wealthy, it's about being wealthy in all of aspects of your life. Happiness, having activities that you love to do that you can be successful in, and the last one that's very important is your health. And it's keeping all of that, all of those elements fully integrated. That's what's important. So when we talk about money with people, we're talking about, how do you keep a strong integration between your financial wealth, but also with your happiness, success, and your health. And that's a delicate balancing act. But it's interesting that you can't really be truly wealthy for the long term in a holistic sense if you haven't got that integration. And, I think we can look at case studies out there. What's the point of making a lot of money in a business if then your health declines or you even die early? What's the point of that?
Exactly. Or you save it. Yeah. You save it all your life and never spend it on yourself or your family. And then what? Yeah.
Or the stress of earning it.
Yes.
In running a business gives you pancreatic cancer or something like that. And Steve Jobs is a case study, right? Has he left a massive legacy for the rest of us? Yes. But what's the cost to him?
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of case studies like that. Or you work hard on the business and then you get divorced and you give up half. One, you've got the damage psychologically of all of that. But also, are you lesser of a person in that setting? And I think that too many people, Sherry, make the measurement of their success and their happiness, their contribution to the world, but based on how much money that they've got. And that's the problem.
I want to learn more about how you help others discover what their DNA behavior is around money. So we'll be right back.
Sage International Incorporated fosters the entrepreneurial spirit by first educating our clients. In fact, we wrote the best-selling book, Incorporate and Get Rich, as recommended by Robert Kiyosaki in his bestseller, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. For over two decades, we have taught thousands of business owners, real estate investors, professionals, and entrepreneurs how to properly structure their business and personal assets to avoid the three flaming arrows of challenge: income taxes, liability exposure, probate, and death taxes. Call Sage International Incorporated at 775-786-5515 to set up a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry Hill if you want to experience peace of mind today. That's 775-786-5515. Call Sage International.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, "Help, we're underwater," or "The wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work."
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com.
Money energy is a key life force impacting every area of your life. Today, I'm talking with Hugh Massey, the founder of DNA Behavior International. And we've been talking about money energy. And Hugh, I want to figure out, because a lot of people would have no idea, what is their DNA around money? And so when you work with people, how do you drill down to go, you're a saver, you're a spender? Well, how do you figure it out?
Yeah, so we figure it out in a very scientific way, Sherry. So what I designed with a team of behavioral scientists and university professors is we built our own measurement system, if you want to call it that. So we've got a very unique questionnaire that people complete. It takes about, on average now, 10 minutes. It used to be longer when we started, but we've made with technology it easier and slicker to do. But taking 10 minutes, answering very structured questions, unpacks 4,000, believe it or not, 4,000 insights about a person. Now, we don't share all those with any individual, but we've got them in our data bank. And we used that as the starting point to talk to people about how they are wired, from what we call a natural hardwiring perspective, to make decisions when they're under pressure. And often stress and relationships are what cause a lot of pressure. That's where we start. And what we're really doing is unpacking what their strength struggles are, what their life perspectives, their motivations are. So it's at that point we know if somebody, for example, inherently a spender, or are they much more of a risk taker? And some people will be both. How goal driven are they, for example? Are they going to get emotional under pressure? Or is their perspective on life more about saving? You know, interestingly, as a sort of experience share on this, when early days of when I was first started going down this scientific approach, I had a husband and wife in my office. They were 50 years old and their kids had just finished school. He'd been pretty successful in business and she was going to inherit some money from her side of the family, but their collective wealth was around 50 million. No debt, but they were worried whether they had enough money.
Wow.
And it took about 3 months of meeting them once a week to get them on track to actually doing something. And when I'm saying that, not just for me to invest their money to make assets under management fees or commission or anything out of it, because I didn't charge people that way. I did it more as a consulting fee, but more to help them structure their life and get a positive attitude and make structural decisions about how they'd live, whether he would buy a business, all that type of stuff, how they would set their kids up in the future. You know, it took a long time, but, you know, they were worried that they didn't have enough money. That was the lurking issue. And interestingly, I saw a pattern of that with others. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter how much money you had the same pattern is there with that style. So that's why I'm very strict about, you know, that anybody who works with us, and you alluded to this before, we have a whole network of financial advisors that use our system because they want to know upfront how is each person wired up and how to have the conversation with them, because we all start from a different a different perspective, and we're going to have a different relationship with money depending on who we are.
Right. And then when you marry someone, now you've got two different, right? So,
right. And yeah. Yeah. And interestingly enough, you know, for our listeners, we did a research study on this some years ago that 70% of first marriages, the couples are completely the opposite style. So you'll have one of them will be the spender and the other one would be the saver, or one will be the risk taker and the other one is very cautious. Now, it's not necessarily that gender specific. The women are a little bit more cautious, but on the spending front, can be the male or the female. But the fact is they're on different pages. Yes, they're opposite, and that's sort of, in a way, opposites have attracted. But now they're bringing different money attitudes and behaviors to their relationship. And that's what they've got to deal with. And that's why so often money is blamed as a factor in the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't think it's money itself. I think it's the fact that because they're opposite, they haven't learned how to communicate with each other, to respect their different talents. And that leads to some of the spending.
Right. Well, and one of the cool things, Hugh, that you're doing is once people really understand and can identify their DNA behavior around their money energy, now
yeah.
There's, you know, all kinds of ways, and I'm sure you guide and help people. So how do you let go of the fear of losing money, or you don't want to invest because, you know, whatever reasons, right?
Yeah.
And so how do you take it from there? I've discovered it. Now what do I do?
When you've got a husband and wife sitting in front of you and you're advising them, facilitating them through this conversation, for them to see openly, to see how each other is different, builds what I call understanding, acceptance, and respect. And when they realize, okay, this is just you, this is the way you are naturally, then there can be more understanding, acceptance and respect. Now, that doesn't mean there doesn't have to be some habit changes and some behavioral modifications. But you've leveled the playing pitch and you've taken it away from nitpicking and speculating to who the person is, and you make that the framework and put that out. And then what I more do is discuss with people, okay, what's your purpose in life? We talk about their identity. So, you know, if it's an individual, you know, what's your identity going? What do you see your identity in the world as? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be looked at? How are you going to hold yourself accountable? What's your purpose? What's driving you? If it's a couple, we get both of them to do that. And once we get some commonality on that and understanding of that, and then we can start to talk about, okay, how's the money going to be used that we're earning or might be inheriting or wherever the money is coming from? How's that going to be used to fulfill that purpose and the dreams that come with that? Then the money conversation gets a whole lot easier. Whereas if we talk about, okay, what is with each person, what does money mean to you up front, and get straight into the tin tacks of a budget, you're going to have a big problem. You're not going to get very far. The money conversation is going to become very charged.
Absolutely.
So it's more about getting people to look at the bigger picture of their life, their purpose, then aligning, and their goals, and then aligning the money to that.
Right. And then making decisions based on what's going to bring you the most joy.
Right.
This is what it's all about, right?
Yeah. What's going to bring you the joy? What's going to bring you the happiness? Where, you know, what aspects of life are causing you some stresses? Okay, how do they get removed, et cetera? That's the framework to have this conversation. So in a way, it's not directly about money, but of course it is about money because money is there.
Exactly.
But if you make it totally about money and the transactional side of money too early, then you'll have a disaster as far as the conversation is concerned. No behavioral change and bad decisions get made.
Yeah. The website is dnabehavior.com. It's fascinating. I pulled down the 40 quantum laws of money energy. Great question. So I encourage everyone to go out and download that. So final message.
Yeah. So I think part of the message would be, Sherry, for everyone to go to our website and complete the complimentary DNA assessment there. And we're going to be able to tell you not only your talents and career paths and the like, but also your money style, how you wish to be communicated with. Make that a building block and build your own self-awareness. But it's important also to love yourself, give yourself grace, follow your dreams, create a framework for your life. Don't not follow your passion because you think you haven't got enough money. You know, find out what you're passionate about and then work out ways to build that into your life. Do things that you enjoy. Start with small steps on that. And then you'll find that the money is going to take care of itself around all of that.
Absolutely. I want to thank Hugh Massey for being here with me today. He is the executive chairman and founder of DNA Behavior International. Fascinating. I love this subject of money energy and really how used well it can really enhance your life. Thank you, Hugh, for sharing that with us today.
Sherry, thank you for having me with you today. You've talked to one of my passion subjects about, you know, around money energy and how we can help people grow their lives and make quantum leaps. So I really love spending time with you.
Thank you. All right. We will stay connected. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Sherry Hill Show, where business, but today, money energy has been amplified.
The Sherry Hill Show values the role we play in supporting the economic engine driving this country. Small business, the backbone of America. And tune in next week, same time, same station, for the Sherry Hill Show.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, help, we're underwater. Or the wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work.
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com. Natakwa News, the original, entertaining, informative, and historic publication. Natakwa News is a community newspaper with good news, history, travel, and fun. Natakwa News is delivered to the North Slopes of the Sierra Nevada throughout Nevada and California. It's a delightful experience of yesteryear. The articles are outstanding, and the illustrations bring the stories to life. Fun for all ages. Natakwa News.
Natakwa.
This is Peter from Nevada Real Estate Radio. I talk about the subjects that help you as a home buyer, seller, or investor. You might have to navigate through some murky waters, but we're here to help you achieve success. Nevada Real Estate Radio, Thursdays, 3 p.m. on 93.7 FM. Nevada Real Estate Radio.